Remember these words from the book we love. To the choir master, for the flutes, Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Give heed to my sighing. Listen to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I plead my case to you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil will not sojourn with you. The boastful will not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down towards your holy temple in awe of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouths. Their hearts are destruction. Their throats are open graves. They flatter with their tongues. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of their many transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them so that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover them with favor as with a shield. The word of the Lord.
Give ear to our words, O Lord, and help us. Help us always give ear to yours. In Jesus' name, amen. In this morning's psalm, we hear a cry to the Lord in the morning. A psalm of lament. Maybe some of us woke up this morning in lament, with a burden, with a sorrow. A good time to call upon the Lord. I love Psalm 55:17 talks about evening, morning, and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice. Psalm 119:164 takes it, bumps it up another step, and talks about seven times a day crying out to God. If you've ever been in a monastery that keep the 7 hours of prayer each day, it's a wonderful rhythm to work into life. You know, I don't know why some people don't seem to need the rhythm of fixed times of prayer. I tend to need those. My wife, Janet, doesn't. Her inner default interior activity is prayer. If I ask her, hey, Janet, what you thinking? Oh, I was just praying. Oh, who are you praying for? And she'll tell you. Janet, what are you thinking about? Oh, I was just praising, just giving thanks. That's her interior default life. Mine is more daydreaming and to-do lists, not nearly as spiritual. And so fixed hours of prayer really work for me. The IWS rhythm really works for me. We gather in the morning. We begin with singing praises. We gather in here. We sing praises. We pray. We call upon the Lord. At noon, we gather again and we sing some praise again as giving thanks for food. And then the evening practicums, we get a chance to do it again. Those three times. I don't know why all of us would need those, but I'm very fond of quoting the Birdie character from the movie Hope Floats, that beginnings are kind of scary and endings are usually or typically sad. And so she really preferred the middle parts of life. Well, I think that prayer is appropriate. And as we spend time in the Psalms, we learn that prayer is appropriate at beginnings and endings and in the middle all day long, evening, morning, and noon. In the beginning of any event and the ending of any event, whether it's happy or sad, whether our hearts are filled with joy or our hearts are heavy. And interestingly enough, we find that it's not always cut and dried. That's why it's good to absorb, to soak in the principles of the Psalms as well as the vocabulary of the Psalms, because it gives us guidelines and gives us vocabulary for whatever state we find ourselves in. When we lament, as the psalmist does this morning in Psalm 5, we find some comfort in the middle of just expressing our sorrow and our lament. Sometimes when we're in those songs of ascent and joyfulness and we're ebullient and we're grateful and excited, sometimes we can have supplications well up in us or a moment of sorrow. Someone questioned the other day the use of the lament application of the Lennon-McCartney song Help when we were on Songs of Ascent in 122 and 123. I find that everything in life is not as cut and dried as we want it to be. Spent a few minutes in Eric Bolger's 501 class yesterday, wonderful dialogue about the Psalms. And Eric was talking about how, I think this is in Walter Brueggemann's book on the Psalms, that what the Psalms do for us in the sweep of the 150 chapters, the 150 Psalms, is take us from orientation, which begins clearly in Psalm 1, the appropriate orientation for life. If we behave a certain way, God will behave a certain way, and things all come out to the good. Then we get in the messiness of life, and we move from orientation to disorientation. Anybody know what that's like? Disorientation. The vicissitudes of life disorient us, and it doesn't look like it's working out the way it's supposed to work out. And then by the time we move to the end of the Psalms, 146 through 150, to that unfettered praise, Brueggemann calls it. I like to also refer to it as untethered praise. Praise that's not tied to anything. It just bubbles up and overflows, and it's all just hallelujah, 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 like we were singing this morning. But you know what happens is it's not clean, it's messy. And in the middle of orientation, you can find yourself disoriented. And in the middle of disorientation, you can find moments of recapturing orientation. And it's all that part of that journey to get the new orientation, the reorientation that only the Word of God and His Spirit can work in us. The first conversation I ever remember on prayer was with my dad. I was 4 years old. We had just started going to church. I think they figured we were of Sunday school age, and so we better get these kids in church. My dad didn't plan on the Baptist pastor coming, calling, and leading him to the Lord in our living room. Our life changed forever. Going to church, I heard the word prayer for the first time. I was 4 or 5 years old, maybe 6, by the time I thought to ask this question. Daddy, what's prayer? What is it? I mean, I didn't know. I had no concept, no frame of reference for what prayer was. It was just an interesting word to me. And my daddy said, well, it's like this. Prayer is talking to God. And you can pretty much tell him anything that's on your heart, anything that's in your mind. You can just tell him. And he didn't stop there. He said, but if you listen, sometimes you can hear him talking back to you. When you're 4 or 5 years old and your daddy says that to you, you believe it. I started talking to God and I began trying to listen. And you know what? If you've seen the film August Rush, all those wonderful sights and sounds that happened on the front end of that movie, that was the kind of things I was hearing. It was a sweet voice to my ear, a sweet voice to my soul, and it still is. Sometimes it's not that sweet getting going in the conversation with God. I love the lesson from Forrest Gump, studying prayer according to Forrest Gump, when Lieutenant Dan has all this pent-up rage and anger about life, And he lets fly on God in the middle of that storm, up in the rigging of that ship. The next morning, you see him swimming with a smile on his face, and Forrest says, "You know, I think Lieutenant Dan made his peace with God that night." You know, if you need to unload on God, that's okay. The psalmist gives us plenty of parameters, plenty of modeling, plenty of vocabulary for that. Gives you a good place to start. And God's just yearning to get the conversation going. He just wants to get the conversation going. He'll hear whatever you have to say, and he will speak peace to your soul. Bill, would you lead us in the song that we sang the other day, "Lord, I Simply Come"? I want to give a moment for you unloading, giving what you're carrying to God. And whatever would help you do that, if you want to stand, if you want to kneel, if you want to sit, if you want to come up and kneel at the altar, whatever posture would help you, if lifting your hands to God, symbolizing offering him the burdens that you've been carrying, the stuff you've been carrying, if that would help, do that. If you need somebody to kind of agree with you in prayer, I think we all know each other well enough now that your neighbor won't be offended if you reach out and grab their hand and they'll pray with you. But let's sing, "Lord, I Simply Come," and let's take our burdens to him. Cast our cares on him and let him have them.
Lord, I simply come to bow before your throne, to open up my heart and worship you alone. I offer up my life, a living sacrifice to you. Let this be my prayer. Lord, I simply come Lord, I simply come to bow before your throne, to open up my heart and worship you alone. I offer up my love, living sacrifice to you. Let this be my prayer. Lord, I simply come.
Dear Father, you are the God of all peace. You've taught us that in returning in rest, we shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be our strength. Lord, by the might of your Spirit, lift us, we pray you, to your presence, where we may be still and know that you are God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.